Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Yud Ches. We're going to be starting today on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, halfway down the Amud. Today's daf is sponsored. Thank Josh and Simone Brody, Rabbi Brody, for sponsorship of the daf today. Daf is going to be learned Lezecha Nishmas Asher Yosef Ben Binyamin, commemoration of his 21st Yurtzeit. Neshama Shehevan in Aliyah. We are starting today on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, halfway down, and we're going to be knee-deep in Tzoros. Today we're going to be in the Sig of Tzoros. And just as a quick reminder from what we learned yesterday. So when your property does damage, when I say your property, we're going to be focusing on the animal. So your animal does damage to other people's property or other people. So you're chayv to pay. So not only do you have to pay, but you have to pay nezek shalom. A notable exception is that if your animal does damages via keren, animal lowers its head, gores another animal. So then you don't pay nezek shalom, but you rather you pay chatzi nezek. You only pay half damages. Within this distinction between Karen and the others, Regal and Shane, so what did we learn yesterday? So we were introduced yesterday to this idea of Tzoros. Tzoros already, the truth of the matter is we touched on the beginning of the Masechta, but yesterday's daf and today's daf, we are going to really get into the topic of Tzoros. What is Tzoros? So Tzoros is a subcategory of Regal. It's a Tolod of Regal. The Gemara established in the beginning of the Masechta, Daf Beis, Daf Gimel, right, when we introduced ourselves to the idea of Avos and Tolados, categories, subcategories. So we know that Tzoros is a subcategory of Regal. What is Tzoros? So the animal steps on a stone, and because of the weight of the animal and the pressure placed on the stone, now the stone goes into propulsion. And the stone now is going to be flinging in the air and hitting somebody else's property. At which point in time now, that's your damage. In other words, your animal created that damage, and therefore you have to pay. However, as a halach l'moshe misina, you do not pay nezek shalom, you only pay chatzi nezek. Okay? And that is the special subcategory, the tolada of tzoros. Okay, and it's unusual because in every other case of a tolada, the Gemara made this point already in the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Gimel, every other tolada you're paying nezek shalom. Okay, so this is unusual. Okay, now I say it's unusual, by the way, and meanwhile, it's normal. Meaning it's normal for animals to walk, it's normal for animals to apply pressure. And so there is going to be, right, literally in this case, collateral damage done from the animal just simply walking. All right, all those stones now that are going to be propelled in all these directions, and you're going to have to pay for it. So it's normal. And meanwhile, despite the fact that it's normal, you're only going to be paying chatzi nezek, not nezek shalom. What are examples of tzoros?
I was asked if this is an issue, so I didn't
talk. Excellent. So remember, regal is pater and rishus harabim. So in other words, if the animal steps on somebody else's property in a rishus harabim, so putter. In other words, you're not going to have to pay. In other words, that's you're in the public. You have right of way. Your animal also has right of way, so you're not going to pay. Ostensibly, that would mean that it's tzoros were to occur in a rishus harabim, you also wouldn't have to pay. Okay, there is what to discuss. We're not going to discuss it today, but just happens to be again in my in my preparation in my research. So there is what to discuss where, what happens if the animal is in the rishus harabim. A stone now is shot off from the foot and lands in somebody else's property and does damage in somebody else's property. Good. Then there's a discussion to be had. We're not going to have that discussion today, but at least I now know that's not black and white. That's not easy. But to the basic question, so if it occurs in the rishus harabim, you're pater. Good. Very good. Tanu Rabbanan. So we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday. And over here in the Braisa, we're just going to give simple examples of tzoros. Now, also, mind you, one other reminder before we embark on today's daf, and that is that I said very confidently that you're paying chatzi nezek by tzoros. Good. That's the sheet of the Tanakama. Simchas disagrees. Simchas is of the position that tzoros, you're paying not chatzi nezek, but rather you're paying nezek shalom. Okay. How did Simchas arrive at that conclusion? Unknown. Right? Unclear. Right? In other words, he has his halach l'moshe m'sinai. So we noted yesterday that normally there's no machlokas by halach l'moshe m'sinai. That's what we're told. The Rambam tells us that when it comes to halach l'moshe m'sinai, there's no machlokas. There is no machlokas by halach l'moshe m'sinai. These traditions are so strong. And meanwhile, we could cite a number of examples in the Gemara. Right? There aren't a lot of them, but there are a number of examples in the Gemara where it seemingly there's a halach l'moshe m'sinai and it's open to machlokas. Like this right over here. Okay, so that also requires its own discussion. We're gonna move past that point, but I'm just noting. We noted yesterday, noting it again today, and we continue. So we are now Tana Rabbanan halfway down on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Tana Golem Shayim Africhem Yimakam Lamakam V'Shibukel Mechan Feyem. So birds are jumping, right? And they're going from one place to another, and they hit things. They hit Kalim with their wings. So Mishalim Nezek Shalim. So they're going to be paying Nezek Shalim as a function of the fact that that is totally normal, and we're going to file it under Regel. We're going to put it in Regel. So it's totally normal. Beruch Shekan Feyem Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. Now, what if the wings don't make actual contact with the Kalim? But let's say the wind beneath their wings. In other words, their wings are creating a force. That force of wind now goes and damages. So under those circumstances, you're paying, but you're only paying chatzi nezek. Why? Sararos. Because again, if it's not direct contact between the animal and the item that it breaks, it's indirect contact, but it's done via the force of the animal. So this is another example of Soros, and therefore you're paying chatzi nezek. Now Simchas Omer Nezek Shalem. Now Simchas basically says that you pay Nezek Shalem. Perfect. This is consistent with Simchas' general position that you're paying Nezek Shalem and Soros. Tanya Yidach the Gemara says, I'll give you another example. We're gonna rattle off three different examples in a row. Tanya Golem Shayu Mahatzin Agabe Isav Agabe Peres V'Tinfu O Nikru Mishalem Nezek Shalem. So if I have birds jumping on other people's food, their dough, their fruit, and their matan, if they dirty it up with their feet, or they make holes in them, so now you're paying nezek shalem. That's direct contact between one person's animal and another person's food. So therefore, that's nezek shalem. That's regel. So, however, hello, afarot sraros, mishamim chatzi nezek. But let's say that their jumping basically caused a dirt to kick up, and that dirt now landed on other people's food, dirtying the food. So now that's incidental. That's not direct. And therefore, that's sraros, chatzi nezek. And Simchas Omer Nezek Shalem. And again, Simchas says that you pay Nezek Shalem. Tanya Idach, here's the third example. Tanagol Shayim Afriach Mimakom Lamakom V'yatzar Ruach Mitachas Kenafa V'shibras Akelem Mishalem Chatzi Nezek. And Stamaka Rabbanan, here in this Brisa, the bird is flying and the wind that's whipped up right below it goes and breaks other people's Kelim. So then you're paying Chatzi Nezek. This Brisa over here is just simply a representation of the position of the Tanakama, not the Shita of Simchas. Good. Okay. Now, Amar Rava Bishlam Simchas Kesav Kochel Kegufo Dame. So now Rava says, if we're going to now spend a moment to analyze. So Rava says, I understand the Shita of Simchas. Makes sense, right? In other words, what is Sararos? Kochel. In other words, when you go ahead and you fire a gun, the bullet comes out and you kill somebody, so that's called murder. In other words, but you didn't do it with your hands. But in other words, you create the force that killed somebody. And that's Koach. And koach, generally speaking, in halacha, is considered like you. And so therefore, if your animal goes and does damage, but not doesn't directly damage, but only indirect, but creating the force, so that's called kocho. And Rava says, I understand the shita of simchas. I really understand it. And according to the Chachamim, ikagufo dami kulo nezek ba l'shalem, v'ilavka gufo dami chatzi nezek nami lo l'shalem. So, but the Chacham's position, however, in other words, pick a lane. If Koach is considered you, so then you have to pay full damages. And if Koach is not considered you, so then you should pay nothing. Where are we right now? In the middle of the road, right? To where you're paying Chatzi Nezek? Where's the Chacham's position on Koach? It's a good question. So, Hadam Rav Alolam Kigufo Dam Eve Chatzi Nezek. Okay. So the answer has to be, meaning we already knew this going in. In other words, we said this yesterday when I introduced today's daf, we said this, but the Gemara is really giving voice. It's articulating that enachinami, according to the Chachamim, what is Sraros? It's Koach. And what is Koach? Kocho is you. Kocho is Kegufo. And so therefore, really what you should be doing is you should be paying Nezek Shalem. I, Halacha Moshe Misinai. In other words, I can't explain it. You can't explain it, but the facts are that we have a halach l'moshe misinai, that we have a tradition that when it comes to tzoros, you're only paying chatzi nezek. If it were up to svara, of course the damage would be bumped up to nezek shalem. It's koach, and koach is you. Okay, so, but in a chinami, for reasons that we cannot explain any better, there's a halach l'moshe misinai that tzoros is chatzi nezek.
And simchas
has a different halach l'moshe misinai. Okay.
It's not universal.
Well, no, correct. In other words, it's right. We knew that going in. It's a machlokas. But the Gemara says, but I don't have any trouble explaining simchas. I understand simchas.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But according to the Chachamim, it's strange. And the Gemara acknowledges, you're right, it's strange. Okay. Amar Rava. Kol shebezav tamei benizakim hasham nezek shalom. V'chol shebezav tahor, so benizakim hasham chati nezek. So the Gemara does a great job now taking a halacha, which is totally out of left field, and basically employing it over here. Okay, now when it comes to a Zav, so a Zav is a man who has a discharge, and now he becomes a Zav. And for our purposes right now, let's leave it at that. There's many more details that I'm not going to go over right now. Anyway, and we're talking obviously over here about a specific discharge. Okay, for our purposes right now, he's a Zav. Let's just, if you don't know any better, if you don't know any more, so it's not a sufficient understanding, but for our purposes, it's good enough. Now, what's halacha regarding Zav in transmission of Tumah? When a Zav sits on a chair, so the chair now is an Av HaTumah. Normally, when you have a transmission of Tumah from the Av to another item, the item goes down a level and becomes a Tolada. So it becomes a Rishon LaTumah. However, transmission of Tumah Zav is that when you sit an item, the item now is an Av HaTumah. It doesn't drop down a level. Okay. Things that we've gone over time and again throughout the Daf. Okay, what else do we need to know right now? So, if now the transmission of Tumah is now by a Zav and the item that it sits on is a regular Zav transmission and the item becomes Tameh. Okay. So under those circumstances, if I took that and I then transfer that over to an animal doing damage, that's Gufo. And you're paying Nezek Shalem. If on the other hand, by the Zav, where it's not direct contact. In other words, sorry. He's not directly on top of the item. So therefore, the item now is no longer an avatumah. So now, if I took that and moved that over to the world of Nezek, so now that is no longer Gufo, that is now Kocho, and therefore it's Chatzi Nezek. Okay. So now what you have to do is that, great, the analogy is in place, and practically speaking, what does that mean? The Gemara is going to tell us. V'Rava Tzoros Aser Lashminan. So the Gemara says, now Rava, what are you doing right now? You're using the halachas of Zav to just basically tell us the idea behind Tzoros, meaning without the analogy, I get it. Tzoros is not Gufo, Tzoros is Kocho. I get it. Like, what did you add with this analogy? So, lo, Rava Egla Moshechus Bekaron Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, no, Rava was teaching us a halacha regarding a wagon that was pulled by a gala. It was, I'm sorry, Egla Moshechus Bekaron. The animal pulled the wagon. That's what he's coming to teach me. Okay, now what do we need to know regarding? So what do we know regarding a wagon that's pulled? Look at Rashi. Egla Moshechus Bekaron. Rashi writes, Aser Lashmina Debezav Tamei. Now when it comes to Azav, so Azav is sitting now in the wagon. So Im Halcha Karon Shazav Ala Agabi Kelim Tameim Mishum Medras Hazav. So if now, let's say the wagon is being pulled and the Zav is sitting on the wagon and now there's something underneath the wagon. So that is now considered a direct contact between the Zav and the item below it. And therefore it falls under the category of Gufo. We're going to say the same thing regarding Nezek. Rashi writes, Uvenizakim Nami, Egla Shemashcha Bekaron. So Agabe Kalim. So now you have the following. You have an animal pulling a wagon. And now the wagon goes ahead and does damage. But the wagon is hitched to the animal. So it's a good question. But we now know the answer. Is that Tzoros or is that Gufo? What we're learning together right now is that it's Gufo. So Kegufo have velo Tzoros. V'im hitzit Tzoros mitachas akaron. Debezav Tzoros b'nizakin nami Tzoros ninhu. Now, if, let's say, a rock were to be propelled by the weight of that wagon and shoots off and does damage, that's Tzoros. But if the wagon runs over somebody else's kalim, so now that no longer falls under the category of Tzoros, that is considered direct damage. That is actually guf that falls under the category of regel, and therefore, under those circumstances, you're paying Nezek Shalem. Again, by the way, just to remind, Marty reminded us moments earlier, just as a reminder, of course, if this happened in the street, so you'd be potter because, again, there is no chiyuv nezek by regel in a rishus harabim. We're talking about where this occurs in somebody else's property. But the point is, however, is that the wagon that's drawn by the animal is not considered koach. It's considered gufo. Good. That's what we're learning from the from the analogy. Tanya Kavasi the Rav, the Gemara says, great. The analogy is great. Not only is the analogy great, we have a brice that's going to support it as well. Behema Moros Lashava Bederchi Lucha Ketzad. So, give me the example of Regel Muad. So, the brice does so. Now, we saw this brice already yesterday. This is called Chazara. It's the end of the brice, which is why we're quoting it over here. So, Ketzad Behema Shenichnus Lachazar and Izak Vizika Begufa Derchi Lucha. The animal goes into somebody else's property. Uvisara Derchi Lucha. And either does damage directly with its body or with its hair, rubs the hair against somebody else's kli. Uba ukav shalav, v'shlif shalav, v'prumbia shebepia, uvizug shebetzavara, or whatever is normally attached to the animal. And that attachment goes ahead and brushes up against something, does damage to something. V'chamor b'masa'o, donkey now is carrying something, and that item that the donkey's carrying is running into somebody else's property, does damage, you have to pay full damages. So now, here we go. We have a wagon that's drawn by an animal. This also is considered gufo, not tzraros. So, mishalem nezek shalem, so you're paying nezek shalem. Good. So over here, the brisa that we just cited is a raya, brura. It's a clear proof to that of Rava, that a wagon that's drawn by an animal, that is in fact considered not tzraros, but rather gufo. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, we are more on the topic of rego. We're on the very bottom of Yizayin Amud Beis. Tanu Rabbanan, Tanu Kolam Shayim Mechatim Mechevel. So I have now these chickens, and they are pecking at a string. And Mechevel Deli. And the string had a Deli attached to it. So nifsa kachevav nishbar dli. So now what happens is that they're pecking out the rope that's connected to a dli, connected to a bucket. They snap the rope. The bucket breaks. Hachevav nishbar dli mishamim nezek shalem. So they're going to be paying nezek shalem. Okay. So in other words, that is considered that's not considered tzraros. So the but rather that's considered direct damages, and therefore the owner of the chickens have to pay full damages. So by Rava Darsa Klevelosha Shavarasa Vinizgago, Lamakamacha Vinishbar Mahu. Ah, okay. So now here we go. So here we go with our Rube Goldbergs for today. Okay. If you like the reference, great. If you didn't understand the reference, okay, what can I do? So Darsa Klevelo Shavarasa. So now I have my chickens, and what do they do? So they jump on a kli, but they didn't break the kli. However, they got the kli rolling. And v'nizgal galamakamacha v'nishbar. And now that rolling kli goes ahead now and right gathers steam, gathers more energy, more power, and then finally it breaks. In other words, but my chickens didn't break it directly. They just got the ball rolling, or in this case, the kli rolling, literally. Pun intended. V'nishbar mahu, and now what happens now when it breaks? And Basar Mikara Zinavagufeho, Dilma Basar Tvar Mana Zinavitsravas Nenu. Okay, so here is an unbelievably fantastic question. And that is this Gufo or is it Soros? Okay, consider now. In other words, they started the force, they generated the initial force in order to break the Kli. But the Kli didn't break right away. It took a moment for the Kli to break. In other words, it took some rolling and it generated some more force. So now, do we look at the original force, the initial force? If we did. So this files now under the category of regel, and therefore the owner of the chickens have to pay full damages, or no? And that would be called baser mi'ikara, or maybe no. Baser tzvar mana azlinan. Look at the actual breaking of the kli. In the actual breaking of the kli, so the kli broke, but not when it was actually in contact with the feet of the chicken, but rather after it rolled. So in other words, if we're looking at that point in time, so that's really propulsion. That's koach. And therefore, the owner of the chickens only have to pay chatzin nezek because this falls under the category of tzraros. It's such a good question.
Isn't it the same one when the wind and the wind? The wind is the one that pushes. It's the same case. Why would it be different?
It would be different because in that case over there, there was never any direct contact between the birds and the clay. Over here, the birds were literally jumping on the clay.
On the rope. They were packing on the rope. And
the rope is one case earlier. The rope is one case earlier. Over here, Darsa al Kli. Darsa al Kli. They're jumping on the Kli.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's good. It's good. It's excellent clarification. So they're jumping on the Kli itself. And now the Kli starts rolling. So good. So in other words, there was direct contact between the bird and the kli, but it didn't break right away. It only broke after it continued rolling. But they're the ones who generated that initial force for the kli to roll. Beautiful. It's such a beautiful question. And the Gemara says, Tifshel le medarava, damer rava. So zara kli merosha gagova acher vishavra b'makal pater. Damer le menat tvir tavar. So the Gemara says, well, I know the answer based on the following. And that is somebody throws a kli off the top of a building, and you're there at the bottom of the building, and you're holding a baseball bat. And so now you're going to go to work. And you're right, and you happen to be schooled in hitting. And so now, as the kli is about to hit the ground, but before it hits the ground, so what do? You make direct contact with the kli, with the baseball bat. So now, who's the damager? Who's liable to pay? So is it the one who threw it off the roof, or is it you who hit it with the bat? So the Gemara says, well, Rabbi tells us, I'll tell you who's chayim. Minat tvira tavar. What did you holding the bat break? You broke something that's already broken. Okay, in other words, there's something called gravity. I'm sure you've heard. Okay, it's not just a rumor. And so when the item is thrown off the rooftop and about to hit the ground, so it's going to break. And that's an easy projection, right? That's nice and straightforward. And so now over there, you happen to be with a baseball bat, and moments before it breaks, you may happen to make good contact with that bat and break it. What did you break? Something that's already broken.
Was your intention to break it?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Sure.
Or was you just raised a baseball bat
Doesn't matter. The Gemara says menat tvire tavar. What you broke is something which is already broken. Ah, okay. So the Gemara says so over there when analyzing that particular case. So are we going after initial force? Or are we going after when it actually breaks? So over there in that case, clearly we're talking about initial force, right? Basar mi'ikaras linan. Clearly. In other words, when the item is thrown off the roof, at that point in time, halacha views it as if it is already broke. And so therefore, it happens to be that you made contact with it a moment before it hits the ground. You didn't break anything. You didn't break anything. It was already broken. So basar mi'ikaras linan, we're going after the original, after the initial force. So over here, why don't we say the same thing? Right, my chickens are jumping on a barrel, starting it to steamroll down the hill, and then it breaks. So why don't we say the same thing? Basami karaz linan. And therefore, the owner of the chickens have to pay nezek shalim. Seems to be a fantastic analogy. So the Gemara says,
if the wind pushed the thing off the roof, and then he breaks it. So
it's not wind, it's gravity. It's gravity.
No, he means
I'm saying not somebody throwing it. Not somebody.
Let's just deal with the cases that Gemara provides.
Yeah,
okay.
There you have a guilty party, but then the wind pushes it over.
Again, we're not talking about wind right now. I hear you, but we're not talking about wind.
No, which, I understand that. What would be the case?
We have enough to work with in the Gemara itself. Okay, no need right now to go off script. let's stay on script. So good. So the Gemara says, "Larabba pshita le larabba mi baile." So the Gemara says, so for Rabba, so Rabba felt okay. Rabba had clarity on this issue. According to Rabba Basar mi'ikaras linan, when you're throwing an item off the roof, so when you threw it off the roof, so that's it, and you now broke it. Basar mi'ikaras linan. We all know what's going to happen. It's going to fall to the ground. It's going to break. That's called gravity, right? It's unavoidable. So according to Rabba Basar mi'ikaras linan, and if I asked Rabba the same question regarding the case of the chickens now jumping up and down on a barrel, starting the roll. And then it rolls down the hill. The chickens jump off at that point in time, and it finishes its roll, and then it breaks. So are we talking about gufa? Are we talking about koach? So according to Rabba, with a hay, basar mi'ikaras linan, nice and straightforward. And so therefore, the owners of the chicken have to pay nezek shalom. Full damages. On the other hand, Rava says, I'm not sure. Rava would tell you, I'm uncertain. And presumably, when the Gemara says Rava's uncertain, he would be uncertain about both cases, meaning enachinami. I don't know if I would necessarily go basar mi'ikara. Maybe I would go after the point where it actually breaks in both cases. So in the case of the chicken and the rolling barrel, chatzi nezek. In the case of the person who makes contact with the kli right before it hits the ground, maybe the person with the baseball bat is going to be chayev. Good. So the Gemara says, ma mishutza machlokas. Okay. Okay. We're going to go on. If I can, by the way, you want to really challenge yourself and challenge your thinking. It's a short Tosfos, but there's so much to think about over here. The last Tosfos on Yuzayin Amud Beis, where we're discussing, right, where the chicken is rolling the kli down the hill, or the person's throwing the barrel down. Where over there, we at least according to Rabbah, with a hay, menat tavra tavra, meaning basar mikara azlina. Okay, look, I know I'm not doing great in terms of time, but nira, look at the Bam Tosfos. The im zarech even ocheitz ala kli uvacher v'kadim v'shivro d'pshita d'chayiv. Let's say what I do is I shoot an arrow at a kli, and now someone comes in right before the arrow makes contact, and someone breaks the kli. Are we going to say in that situation menat tavra tavar? In other words, are we looking at the kli as a broken item the moment that the arrow leaves the person's hands?
Well, it says the chayav.
Somebody
could have thrown it. Over here. It doesn't just says the chayav. Which one's chayav? The original one or the second one?
No, simple understanding of Tosfos, the second one. Second one's going to be Chayev.
Yeah, because somebody could have caught them, but
maybe. Okay, good. So in other words, and now, okay, good. So I'll leave it off over here, but in other words, there's a lot to think about. Meaning Rabba's clearly of the position that we go after original force, but that's only when the original force is with the Kli itself. But if I'm taking a third party, it's not really a third party, but if I take an arrow or something to go ahead and break the kli, but the kli itself is not moving, I'm just shooting at the kli, and now somebody comes along and intercepts, that person who intercepts is going to be chayiv. What's the difference between the cases? Okay, so again, there's a lot, right? There's a lot to think about over there. What?
According to that, with the baseball bat.
Again, what Tosfos is saying, no, I don't want to. I know we could spend a lot of time here. No, what the Gemara is talking about a case where I'm throwing the kli down from the top of the roof, and the guy hits it with a baseball bat. According to Rabbah, the guy who threw it off the roof is chayiv. Period. No. Period. According to Rabbah. Now the Tosfos says, but let's say the following: the kli is stationary, and someone goes ahead and shoots an arrow at it, and I go ahead now and intercept. And I hit it with a baseball bat. So Tosfos says the guy hitting with a baseball bat for sure is going to be chayiv. Even though, hit the kli. And now, and Tosfos says that case is different. Okay.
It was mid-flight, it wasn't stationary. Okay.
This maybe.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, good. Good. All right.
Also, probably the thought is that the one that fell off the roof is definitely going to be broken when it hits, no matter what.
Okay, good. You and Phil are saying the same thing. Okay, good.
It really doesn't matter.
Tashma, again, I don't know why everyone's talking about the wind. leave the wind out of it. Tashma, he does eino muad v'yesho memhari zemuad. Okay. Now we're back to our birds, and what's happening over here is that the birds are dancing. That's hot, right? I don't know. Hadasim. Okay. Anyway, the birds are dancing over here. Birds are dancing, they're jumping. And over here in the Braisa, so we have a machlokis, whether or not that is mu'ad or not considered mu'ad. So he does sakadatcha. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. What's happening over here? If the birds are dancing and jumping on the kli itself, how in the world are we having a machlokis? That's regal. We all know that. Meaning we're on Yud Zayin, turning to Yud Ches in Baba Kama. We all know that that's regal. There can't be a machlokis. So elalav hidus vihitis. The Gemara says, oh, okay, good. So over here, what happened was is that hidus vehitis, that the birds were jumping and dancing, and they were jumping and dancing on the kli, got the kli to start rolling. And now that rolling kli, the bird now jump ship, and now the rolling kli now goes ahead and collides and breaks, and now. So we're having our discussion in terms of whether or not we look at original force, where the bird was actually on the kli itself, that's Nezek Shalem, that's Regel, or we're looking at the Koach, meaning we're looking at when the kli actually breaks, and that was only created by force. But force is Tzoraros and Tzoraros, you pay Chatzi Nezek. And maybe that's Guf of the Machlokas. Brilliant. The Gemara says, low. Gemara says, yeah, it is a great way to explain the Machlokas, but the Gemara says, no, I don't agree. So the Gemara says, no, what happened was is that the dancing birds, the jumping birds, so what happens is that they jumped and danced on a rock. And that rock flew based on the force. And now that flying rock went into a kli, the kli itself was stationary. And now what are we looking at over here? Classic tsoros. So why does one brisa say that you're chayv and the other one say why does one brisa say chatzi nezek and the other one says nezek shalem? Because it's a machlok. It's between the Tanakam and Sumchus. Okay. Tashma. Okay, we're in the very top of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. So, Tanagolam Shayim Mechatatim Mechavel Dali Nifsek Hachavel Menishbar Dali Meshamim Nezek Shalem Shemamina Basam Ikari Islinan. Okay, so let's take a look now at the birds pecking on the rope. The rope is holding up a jug. And the bird's now pecking on the rope. And they break the rope with their pecking. And now the jug falls and breaks. And what does the braces say? So, Meshamim Nezek Shalem, you pay Nezek Shalem. Shemamina Basam Ikari Islinan. Okay, so now it has to be that we're looking at original force. Okay, because if we're looking now at original force, when did the kli break? After it was disconnected and detached from the rope. So that would be koach, and that would be tsraros, and you'd be chayv chatzin ezek. So the Gemara says, now tigrma chevel. So the Gemara says, well, now maybe you misunderstood the Braisa. When the Braisa says that you have to pay nezek shalom, it's not talking about the jug, it's talking about the actual rope itself. You have to pay for the damages of the rope. So the Gemara says, V'achevel mishunahu. So the Gemara says, well, that's strange. And I mean that literally over here. Why in the world is a bird pecking on a rope? Birds don't peck on a rope. Ah, so in other words, that now falls under the category of unusual damage. Unusual damage. We leave the world of Regel, and where do we go to? The world of Keren. And so therefore, Chatzi Nezek. So the Gemara says, Demos Belisha. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the rope over here had some dough on it. And okay, for whatever reason, whatever the reason is, the case is that the rope had dough on it, and so therefore now the bird is pecking on the rope because it has dough on it. So v'hanishma deli katani. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I really don't think that's shot in the Braisa, because the Braisa says that the jug broke. It sounds like the diun of the Braisa is going on the jug. Elosim chesu damer tzoros nezek shalem ishalem. So the Gemara says, okay, so really it's koach. It's really koach, and we're going on the jug, and the reason why you're paying nezek shalom is because the author of the braisa is simchus. So he's simchus em a seifa. So nitaz mimenu, the end of the braisa. So says nitaz mimenu shever v'nafal kli acher v'shavra al rishon mishal nezek shalom al achron mishal chatzin nezek v'simchus miyisle chatzin nezek. So the Gemara says, well, in the second part of the braisa, it has the following. Basically, dominoes. What happens was that the bird is pecking on the rope. The jug breaks. Jug lands and breaks. Okay. And then what happens is the shards of that first jug that breaks now scatters and now shoots out in other directions and hits a second jug. And that second jug breaks. So the braisa says, on jug number one, nezek shalom. On jug number two, chatzi nezek. Now wait 1 second. If the author of the braisa is simchus, like you're contending, so then you should be nezek shalom, followed then by nezek shalom. So v'chitim adushan lele simchus bein nezek kocho lekoch kocho. So the Gemara says, then maybe you'll tell me that according to simchus, so then maybe we can make distinctions between koach, right, derivative force, and koach kocho, second derivative. Okay. Those of you who remember your calculus, you'll love that. If you don't remember your calculus, then fine. So the Ella had to buy Ravashi koch kocho simchus kekocho dami olav kekocho dami tifshole de lav kekocho dami. So the Gemara says, you know, Ravashi asked this very question, meaning for Simchus's position that sroros you pay nezek shalom, is there going to be a difference between koach and kocho kocho? Ravashi asked the question, and you know what Ravashi did not do? He did not point to our brisa, and he didn't use our brisa to litigate this very question. So in other words, Ravashi clearly didn't understand the brisa this way. So let's go back to what we originally presented. The author of the braisa is the Chachamim. And so therefore, what we're going to have to say is that the author of the braisa is the Chachamim, not Simchus. Why do you pay Nezek Shalem? Because it's not Sraros. Why? Because the birds were pecking on the rope. And so therefore, them pecking on the rope, so we go Basar Mi'ikara. meaning they're the ones who generated that original force in which now the jug is going to break. It doesn't actually break until it makes contact with the floor. Yeah, I know. But in other words, but the birds created that original force. Okay. So, Amar Rabbi Bibar Abai Dekazami Neimine. So the... Rabbi Bibar Abai says, nah. You know what? Maybe the case is different. Maybe the case is not where the birds where the jug broke as a result of the birds pecking on the rope. Maybe what happens is that the jug made it to the floor, didn't break. And maybe what the birds did then is continued pushing the jug until the jug actually broke. Okay. And what we're going to also have to say, right, this is important, and we're going to have to add this point as well, and that is that the jug broke. The birds never jumped ship. In other words, the birds continued to push the jug until it actually break. No longer is this a case of koach, it's a case of gufo. Maybe that's what the Bryce is talking about. Okay. Again, when the Bryces are not clear about what the case is, so as you could see, what we could do, what the Gemara does, it plays around a little bit with the case itself, and it, as long as you could do that, so then we don't necessarily have conclusions regarding these larger questions. Okay. By Rava. We're on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, and what we've been doing over the course of this morning is giving ourselves more than just an introduction to the world of Sroros. Okay, and that means as follows, is that if damage is done by your animal, but it's done via regal, but it's not direct, but rather indirect, or better stated. Every time I say indirect, I don't like it. So let's just change our language a little bit. It's not indirect, but rather koach. In other words, it's coming as a result of the force of the animal, but not directly in contact with the animal itself. So this falls under the category of Soros, and the owner of the animal now no longer pays Nezek. Shalom Chatzi Nezek. Because it's Soros, Halach Lamoshe Misinai, that even though it's Orche, even though it's normal and usual to do so, nevertheless, you're only paying Chatzi Nezek. Why? Halach Lamoshe Misinai. Good. And so what we did over the course of today is that basically we went over numerous cases, taking us from yesterday's Daf Yud Zayin to today's Daf Yud Ches. Okay. So far, so good. So by Chatzi Nezek of Tsroros, you're paying Chatzi Nezek. The Gemara now is going to really give like just strong and difficult analysis of this new type of damages called Tsroros. Here's a question. It's going to cook our noodle. So by Rava, so Chatzi Nezek Tsroros Migufa Mishalma Me Alya Mishalem. You know, there we go. Right. I just saw a click. So you know that by Karen, we're paying Chatzi Nezek. Now the reason why you pay Chatzi Nezek by Karen is because it's Mishun, it's unusual, right? Unexpected, when the animal behaves in unexpected behaviors, so the owner of the animal does not pay Nezek Shalom, but rather Chatzi Nezek. And we already discussed whether or not Chatzi Nezek is a Kenas or whether it's Mamun. Okay, but regardless, the Halach is Chatzi Nezek. And we also know, we saw this in one of the last Mishnahs of the first parak, that it's migufo, it gets capped. It's capped damages. It's half damages, and it's capped. Whatever the animal is that did the damage, that is going to be your ceiling, its value. So if the animal's valued at $100, that will now be the set ceiling of the damages that you're going to be paying. You're not paying in excess of $100, if that's the value of the animal that did the damage. So it's capped. Okay. Now the Gemara wants to know, by Tsroros, so we're paying Chatzi Nezek. Is it also going to be capped as well?
Chicken doesn't know it.
Okay. So that's the Gemara's question. Tashma. So, So again, we're going to go back to the Braisa that we already cited earlier. We're going to now cite it again, trying to resolve this question. And Hidus Akadacha, the Gemara says, now, as far as Hidus is concerned, what does that mean? Animals were jumping on the kli itself. No, what the birds were doing is that they were jumping on stones, and the stones now propelled and hit somebody else's kli. So and maybe over here that's the machlokus in the Braisa in terms of whether it's capped or not capped. If you're saying it's eino muad. Right. If you're saying it's eno muad, basically we're going to be treating it like Karen. Karen is capped, so this too is going to be capped as well. Alternatively, no. In other words, maybe it's not like Karen, meaning even though you're paying Chatzi Nezek, but it's Chatzi Nezek min ha'aliyah, it's going to be uncapped. So the Gemara says, low. So again, the Gemara sidesteps, and the Gemara says, now, the machlokas of whether or not Soros pays Chatzi Nezek or Nezek Shalem, the machlokas of the Chachamim and Simchas. Okay, Tashma. Okay, here we go. This case is coming up in a couple of days from now. So this is the dog and cake case. Okay, the dog and cake case. Now, I say cake, by the way. Cake is probably not the best representation, but it doesn't matter. Okay, the harara is basically translated as the cake, but cake that are cooked over coals. So akel shenato harara. So what the dog did is the following. So my dog went into somebody else's property and took their cake. The cake was being cooked right directly over coals. So as the dog took the cake and ate the cake, also there were still some coals attached to the cake. And then what my dog also did now is aside from consuming the cake, also move the coals over to somebody else's property, or it could be, again, in other words, that person's property, and started a fire. So now, the owner is going to be paying what for the damages? In other words, your dog not only ate cake, but started a fire. So the halacha goes as follows. So your dog, God bless that dog. So ate the cake and started the fire and your friend's and your neighbor's property on his haystack. So now So now on the cake you're paying nezek shalom. That's Shane. On the fire that was started you're paying chatzi nezek. Chatzi nezek. Now that needs an explanation. Why chatzi nezek on the fire that it started? So my time. Allah mishum dehavilaitz raros. So now, it must be because the fire falls under the category of tzraros. I know you could push back on that argument. In a moment, we are. Let's just hear the Gemara out. So now, the fire is tzraros. Now, we're about to make our point. Now, the chatzi nezek is coming megufo. It's going to be capped at the value of the dog. So, if we're right that the fire now falls under the category of tzraros, we have just now answered our question. The tzraros half damages that you pay, is it capped or uncapped? So over here, assuming we got it right, in terms of why it is that on the cake you pay nezek shalem, on the fire started by the dog you're paying chatzi nezek, if it falls under the category of tzraros, and the braisa says beferush, that it's capped, we now know tzraros is capped. Okay, great. Vitizbra, the Gemara says, yeah, That's good, but I think you're wrong. In other words, I think your assumptions are wrong. So, Rebbe Lazar, Nezek Shalom Megufa Miashkechan. Well, what about the Shita Rebbe Lazar? Okay, now, this is a bit of a curveball, but Rebbe Lazar disagrees. In other words, in that Mishnah, on Chaf Aleph, so Rebbe Lazar is of the position that you're paying Nezek Shalom on both cake and fire, and on the damages created by the fire. So, according to Rebbe Lazar, Nezek Shalom Megufa Miashkechan, so it can't be that for Rebbe Lazar who says that you're paying Nezek Shalom, it can't be Megufe. In other words, the two points are incompatible. It can't be Nezek Shalom and it can't be Megufe. It's one or the other. So Ella could go into Shani Bahabigacheles. So Rebbe Lazar said, like Rabbi Tarfon, Damer Mishuna Karen Bechati Nezek, Nezek Shalom Mishalem. So the Gemara says, you know, the sheet of Rebbe Lazar, well, before we get to Rebbe Lazar, let's go back on what we thought and where the Gemara now is asserting we were wrong. We thought that the fire started by the dog, and again, what did the dog do? Drag the cake to another location, and then the coal that was attached that was still attached to the cake then started a fire. So we thought that the moving of the coal from point A to point B, that's tzraros. That's what we thought. The Gemara says that's where we were wrong. It's not tzraros. In other words, what the dog did is the dog didn't launch the coal from point A to point B. The dog physically picked it up and took it and moved it from point A to point B. So it's not koach. So if that's true, so then why chatzi nezek? Why, according to the Tanakhama of that mission, chafalef, are you only paying chatzi nezek? Because it's really unusual. Dogs don't normally pick up coals and move them from point A to point B. And since it's unusual now, how does it file? Files under Karen. So the reason why you're paying chatzi nezek on the fire that was started by the dog is because it's Karen. So if that's true, so now Let's finish the thought. If it's chazi nezek, certainly now you understand migufe. In other words, it's capped because all Karen at chazi nezek is going to be capped. Good. Why, according to Rabbi Elazar, do you pay nezek shalem? The Gemara says, I know that as well. Because once we're talking about Karen, according to the sheet of Rabbi Tarfon we saw earlier in the Masechta, Rabbi Tarfon says that Karen, in the Rishus HaNizak, you pay nezek shalem. Rabbi Elazar subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Tarfon. Beautiful. That's the pshat in that Mishnah Chaf Aleph. Velohi, the Gemara says, I don't think so. I don't think so. In other words, I'd like to go back into our original proposal. My time, Mukim is like Rabbi Tarfon Mishum Nezek Shalem. Rabbi Elazar Savakas Simchas Amar at service Nezek Shalem Shalem. Vesavalak Rabbi Yehuda Damar Tzad Thomas Bim Kamal Medes. The Gemara says, nah, I don't think so. Here's what I think. I think that really, well, let's go back to our original proposal. And really, the truth of the matter is it's Tzraros. It's not Karen. Okay? The Gemara really prefers the Tzraros argument. That what happened is that the dog shot the coal across. And so really, it's Tzraros. So now if it's Tzraros, so let's understand. How is it Megufe? So the Gemara says like this. And this, I have to admit, it gets a little bit complicated. But let's see if we can do this. Really, Rebbe Elazar holds like Simchas. Now, what is Simchas' position? That Tzraros you pay Nezek Shalem. Okay. So in other words, the case of the dog eating the cake, throwing the coal, starting the fire. So again, on the cake that's Shein, it's easy. You pay Nezek Shalem. On the fire that's thrown, on the coal that's thrown, you're paying, that's Tzraros, and, well, according to the Tanakhama, you're paying Chatzi Nezek. But according to Rebbe Elazar, first and foremost, Rebbe Elazar holds like Simchas. That on Tzraros you pay Nezek Shalem. Okay? Now, what else? So, Da'amar Tzoros Nezek Shalom Mishalom. V'savar Kareb Yehuda Da'amar Tzad Tamas Bemkoma Omedes. Okay. And he also holds like Rebbe Yehuda. Now, Rebbe Yehuda is a shita that we're being introduced to now for the first time. A little bit unfair. Okay. Rebbe Yehuda is coming up not till the Mems of our Masechta. Okay, so we have some time before we see Rebbe Yehuda. But Rebbe Yehuda says the following. Tzad Tamas Bemkoma Omedes. Okay. Your animal goes from being a tam to being a muad. Okay, so what does that mean? I mean, in other words, it repeated its behavior. So no longer is it unusual, it's now usual. And that means that the owner of the animal no longer pays chatzi nezek, but rather nezek shalem. And also it's uncapped, right? Okay. When the animal goes through that conversion of going from being a tam to being a muad, so now there really are two ways to look at it. Okay, and I know this is a lot to add at the end of shiur today. But there really are two ways to look at it. One way to look at it is it's a full conversion, meaning that the first, second, third time offense, the owner of the animal only has to pay half damages and it's capped at the value of the animal. Okay. And then what happens is that when it becomes a muad, right, in other words, at this point in time, reset, a total reset. The animal now, this is regular behavior for this animal. You and the owner now have to pay full damages and it's not capped. That's one way to look at it. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I prefer to look at it in the following manner. And that is that when your animal goes from being a tam to a muad, basically that tam status is there, add muad to it. Okay? In other words, the first half damages, so that is basically because the animal started off as being a tam. You got it. And the second half now, that's an additional payment that you have to pay. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, that first half, that remains in place. And therefore, for the first half, that first half gets capped. Tzad tamus bimkoma omedes. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And so what the Gemara now is saying is that, according to Rabbi Elazar, number one, he goes like Samchus, that the animal is, in fact, on Tzoros you pay Nezek Shalem. How can Nezek Shalem be capped? On that, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Tzad tamus bimkoma omedes. Okay, and I know that's complicated. So Amalei Rav Sama Brei, the Rav Ashla, Ravina Eimad, Shamalei the Rabbi Yehuda, Tam Nasa Muad Muad Mitzchalaso Mishamaslei. But to which the Gemara's counter argument is: wait one second, you can't introduce Rabbi Yehuda to our discussion over here. It's NA. It's not applicable over here. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda in the Mems when he discusses this idea of Tzad Tamus Bimkoma Omedes, that's when the animal actually converts from being a tam to being a muad. First time offense, second, third time offense. The animal was a tam, and now fourth time offense, Now the animal graduated to being a muad. And Rav Yehuda will tell you, yeah, it's the first half is tam, the second half now is added. But over here, Sararos, according to Simchas, right away you have to pay Nezek Shalem. There is no conversion over here. It's simply not applicable. So Ella Kikama Rebbe Lazar Nezek Shalem Kigon Diyayed. So the Gemara says, so now what we're discussing over here is the following, and that when Rebbe Lazar says that as far as the dog is concerned, so you're going to be paying Nezek Shalem on the case of Sraros, why are you going to be paying Nezek Shalem? Iyayed. The dog's been doing this repeatedly. In other words, this is unusual, but not for this particular dog. This particular dog is jumping after these cakes and spreading fires, and the dog's done it repeatedly. And the Gemara says, and this is exactly our question as to whether or not we can have a muad of tsaros. Okay, in other words, consider. Tsaros, what are you doing? You're paying chatzin ezek by tsaros. So far, so good. And now, what if the animal repeats tsaros repeatedly? So does tsaros get upgraded from being chatzin ezek to nezek shalem? So the Gemara says, Ella hadabai rava, yesha adala tsaros, ena adala tsaros, ila rabbanan, ena adala tsaros, ila rebelazar, yesha adala tsaros. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Rava was asking this very question. And now the Gemara says, well, why is he asking this question? Meaning, basically, don't we have the answer? If I hold like the Chachamim, then there is not going to be Mu'ad by Tzoros. And if I hold like Rebbe Lazar, there will be Mu'ad by Tzoros. So the Gemara says, Am lecha rava ki mi bai li li di di. Aliba de rabbanan de pliga le de simchus. Avahacha, bein le rabbanan, bein le Rebbe Lazar, ki simchus sfir le. Damar Tzoros nezik shalem ishalem. V'tam amayam a rabbanan chatzi nezik. Deshani velo yayin. Over plukta de Rabbi Tarfon Rabbanan Kemiflegi. What Rabbi will tell you is the following: look, leave the Mishnah Chaf Aleph out of my discussion. I think the Mishnah Chaf Aleph, that machlokus between the Chachamim and Rabbi Lazar, I think they both agree to Simchus's position, and therefore it's Nezek Shalem. And then and then they're arguing about the issue of the Chachamim, Rabbi Tarfon, Sraros, and Regel in the Rishus of the Nizak. Meaning, I think, leave that discussion now. I'm now talking about the Shita of the Chachamim. The Chachamim will argue with Simchus. Meaning, Tzoros, you pay Chatzi Nezek. And then, according to the Chachamim, can Chatzi Nezek ever get upgraded to Nezek Shalem via Muad? Meaning, the animal repeatedly is kicking stones and shooting stones out of its foot. And now it does it repeatedly. So is it going to get upgraded from being a Chatzi Nezek to a Nezek Shalem? Rebbe says, that's my question. I, the Mishnah Chaf Aleph, leave it out of the discussion. I believe, says Rava, the Mishnah Chaf Aleph, everyone subscribes to Simchas. Okay. Let's just do one more line. So, Ema Deshamalei Le Rabbi Tarfon Nezek Shalei Migufo Mishamaslei. So the Gemara says, look, I know Rabbi Tarfon says you pay Nezek Shalem. That part I get. But in other words, but Migufo Mishamalei, but the idea that you're paying Migufo, I can't imagine. So in the Gemara says, no. Mehecha maisi la, mekeren mirishus harabim. So the Gemara says, look, how does Rabbi Tarfon know that you're paying Nezek Shalem? He knows it because of keren mirishus harabim. So da'ilavot min adin lios kenadon. Meaning, since he learns it from keren, and since keren itself is going to be capped, so even the Nezek Shalem of Rabbi Tarfon is going to be capped. V'ha Rabbi Tarfon leithlu da'yo. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Rabbi Tarfon doesn't subscribe to Dayo. Ki leisle Dayo hecha de mafrit kavachomer. Hecha de la mafrit kavachomer isle Dayo. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. Rabbi Tarfon doesn't hold up Dayo, but that's only when it basically rejects the kavachomer. But if it doesn't reject the kavachomer, so then he allows for Dayo. This last part, I know I went over it quickly. But anyway, but the point is that we can have Rabbi Tarfon saying Nezek Shalem in somebody else's property, and it could also be capped as well. Adkan, we'll stop over here. Sure.